never been there.
We didn't cancel.
He's never been there.
Oh, we were still in the discussion, probably.
Nothing.
Good afternoon, everyone. Calling the November 8, 2007 EDAC meeting to order. First order of business is approval of minutes for the October 11th, 2017 regular meeting. Are there any changes anyone wants to bring up? Chance to look at the minutes. I just had two minor points. I forgot what page, lines 112 and 113, I think that's page 3 of the minutes. It was under the 9.1 new business. So I see the word terminated. That sounds kind of harsh. could we change that to removed?
Then there will be. That's fine.
I'm like, you're fired.
But, yeah. It's even worse than being really fired.
It's not really a job.
Certainly. All right, replacing with removed.
Yeah, with removed.
We can do that.
And then 112, because I like all these nitpicky things. Maybe change Debbie to she.
That's fine, okay.
I saw that. Consistent with the minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
In other parts.
Yeah, or but my full name, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, other than that, that's all I had.
Hello.
I just had a lot of activity last time around, so the minutes were very comprehensive and well done as usual. So with those two minor changes, I have a motion to approve the minutes.
I would so move with the changes.
Changes, thank you. Do we have a second?
Yes, sir.
Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? No? Okay, seeing none, the minutes are approved unanimously. Thank you. Thank you very much. Item 3, public comment. Seeing none, let's move on to item 4, announcements. Do you have any announcements?
Mm-hmm.
No announcements. Okay. Item 5 is special presentations.
None.
Okay. Just keep moving. I like it so far. Item 6, unfinished business. 6.1 retail shopping center updates.
We have nothing new to report for this month. And then rolling into the work plan, it's attached and updated, hopefully, to currently what we've covered. And so I'll be asking the subcommittees, EDSP and EDMO, they'll meet next week to send me their updates so I can drop them in.
Okay.
And so that's, so if any questions, any changes, this is the time to present them. At some point, maybe come January when we start getting the a little more information on the subcommittees, we'll need to refine this, make it a little bit more detailed for your presentation in August. So keep thinking that way towards it. But it's a good tracking tool for us to show what we're doing. I think the work plan really, as we talked about, hasn't changed much from last year because we are still updating the EDSP and working through the alternatives. And we are getting the marketing outreach committee going on the passport program, so that'll be a great accomplishment. And we've got the committees working. So I think we're still moving forward with that same plan, and it seems to be working well.
And then also, Debbie, can we still, as individual members, still send you things that we'd like to see happen or proposals?
Yeah, sure, certainly.
So I encourage you to keep doing that. I'll probably have a couple to send you away.
Okay, great.
Time. So, all right, thank you. Item 7, subcommittee reports. Well, we just had our meetings. So 7.1 is the strategic planning subcommittee. Someone from my group want to, we talked about a lot of things, so want to do that succinctly. You probably do a better job than I can. Robert, you want to?
What was it?
Just kind of an update on what we talked about at our subcommittee meeting today.
Oh, are you funny about it?
But you don't have to. I'm just
we just touched upon, I'm trying to paraphrase what we touched upon.
We talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things. I think one of the main issues that have come up, we brought up the long-term plan versus the plan that we short-term for, based on outlined in the consulting report. We talked about, I raised something that has been on social media the past several weeks, since, is it Renzo, that's the gentleman's name?
Yes.
Since his visit was a lot about where is San Ramon, what's our identity, et cetera, which spurred a lot of discussions about the city itself, but where we're going with this with the city center, and what are we doing for the residents, et cetera. There was a lot of discussion also around how can we reach out to landlords and tenants prior to the opening of the city center, because we don't necessarily, not waiting for that to happen and then reacting to the city center, but more being proactive out in the community and reaching out and gathering comments and making, addressing those issues and challenges, and then going forward with a plan from there. So rather than putting the cart before the horse, we wanted to focus more on our current status quo rather than wait for things to happen after the city center. So that's in general what we talked about. If I missed anything, please.
Just focus, talked a lot more about how can we go from a city center to a downtown, or some form of a downtown, not necessarily the same downtown as Denver or Pleasanton have, but how can we get there, and what tools are available to us as a committee and as a city to help achieve that goal. And I think what we landed at the end is to try to make some recommendations for the consultant to include in the report some next step or future steps after we finish this initial 5-year plan in terms of what else do we need to do as a city to keep enhancing our movement towards getting it downtown or expansion of the city center into more, the areas around it so that it's more, looks like more like a downtown.
My takeaway from our meeting was we've been talking a lot about the goals, A, B, C, and D, and those topics have been very useful. They've led to a lot of issues that we've spotted, and I think we've broken it down to long-term and short-term recommendations that we're going to look at and within the framework of the goals. And I think going forward, we're going to have, or each of us are going to come up with recommendations that we'd like to eventually present to, whether it's going to be this committee or eventually to the consultants, to have them include that in the report before it's final. So, a lot of activity today, so thank you. 7.2, Marketing Outreach Subcommittee. Michael, do you have?
Well, we also talked about a lot of things. Primarily the passport program and what we might be able to do to use that to jumpstart just greater recognition of San Ramon as a great place to shop and eat and other kinds of things that we might be able to do. We also talked about maybe some educational things we could do to help some of the small businesses in the area to market themselves a little more effectively. So we're going to be looking at a little further into that as well. But we are moving along.
You guys have a lot of good ideas.
You meet next week.
Yes.
On Monday. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. I'm moving on to item 8, new business, 8.1.
Here's the chair.
We have Mayor Clarkson joining us today. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Boy, I figured I'd be here at least until 4:45.
We're
on 4. Let me write my notes down first.
Yeah. We're trying to be efficient these days.
Yeah, we're efficient today.
Well, first off, I like to go to the different committees and just touch base and hear what they're talking about and what their priorities are. Just can't leave the room, but you guys are like my favorite committee. I don't say that to every group. We really appreciate the hard work you guys are doing, and we really value, and I want you to know how much we value the work you're doing and the feedback you give us, whether it's your group or we go out to coffee, and you give us feedback over coffee. And so I guess part of it is to really reinforce to each one of you that the time you spend here, I know that, I'm not going to speak for staff, but I'll say a little bit for staff, that the work you do is listened to and brought into the process. And I said this when we appointed a lot of you to the committee this last time, that we could have made up a city council with the people that are viewed here, that's all competent and smart we think you guys are, and you're great parts of service. So part of it was to say thank you to what you're doing. And I think that's
the second thing is don't run against us.
I really hope you guys spend time thinking about running for office or running for a commission and getting on those things, because that's part of the purpose here. Some of you took the Planning Academy, which is really neat because it gave you a chance to broaden out your views. And so as you work your way through the system, we will have leaders in a couple of years or 10 years down the road, leaders who are well-informed, understand the context of how a city operates. And so you're more than just one or two narrow issues. Broad-based, and that's so important. That's one of the things that I think our council is trying to do is to build a great bench people who can run and be on commissions and run for office. The other is that, and it's funny, you guys talked about branding a little bit. You talked about branding a little bit. There were two things that came up this last week. National headlines about San Ramon. Anybody remember those two? Two are? Well,
best place to raise a young family.
Yes, best place to raise a family. Great news. And then, of course, the real winner was the best place to trick or treat. But it was reflective of, sometimes we're so close to it, we don't perhaps realize how other people view our city and the perception. So branding is really important because, to a certain extent, I think we have a clean slate. And one of the reasons why the council really pushed the 150 this last year, in fact, this year, which comes to a close, the celebrating 150 years of community, to give the community a sense that this isn't just a new city that popped up out of nowhere, and that there's been a long history and a very interesting history in San Ramon, so you begin to have a little bit of pride in what it's like. Next year, I think the celebration is going to be about opening a new city center. And so that transition from the old celebration of the old village to the celebration of our new village. Think of that. And the work you will do to help be a part of that message is important. The other part, and a couple of you have been on it, some of you may be on it tomorrow, is the thought, and the council made this one of our 5-year priorities, was to create a walking district here in San Ramon. And a walking district is that, with all due respect to the city center, it's not going to be the downtown. It is a part of what the downtown is going to be. And there's going to be phase 2 and phase 3 of that later on. We're not sure what the next 2 are going to be necessarily. Well, we have a general idea. Phase 2 will be some housing, hotel, and some retail. It has not been all fleshed out. But you have, I think we have an extraordinary opportunity with Central Park on the east side, the lakes at AT&T on the west side, of tying it all together into between 150 to 200 acres of a place that, and there'll be, for those who have been on it, work on it, the walking trails through it, but more importantly, it's got great amenities that when your friends come from out of town, to think about the fact that you'll take them down to the walking district, right? Mm-hmm. And they can go sail a boat, they can go to the restaurants along the lake or play bocce ball or volleyball or just walk. They can go over to City Center, movies, retail, go to the plaza. They go to Central Park, where they have concerts in the evenings, lots of things for kids to do, athletic events going on, and there's lots of other stuff in between. And we can also think about what are the other stuff. There's a great line in Steel Magnolias. Anybody seen the movie Steel Magnolias? There's a great line in there, which is, the secret to being dressed is all is to accessorize. And how you would accessorize the walking district. From one of my biases, I'd love to have somewhere along the trail a zip line for kids. Just kind of a, because we hear from all the third graders, that's one thing they enjoy most about our parks is a zip line. It's 100%, it's almost, I'd say it's 98% unanimous. That when I ask them what do they enjoy about Rancho San Ramon Park, they all say the zip line. And things for adults. And so, just to give you some feedback that I think as you think about City Center, it should be really broader based. You've got the Iron Horse Trail, which brings people by pedestrian and by walking into that center area. We now have secured funding for an overpass at Bollinger Canyon, which is how long before you figured that might be?
2019?
Two to three years. And the leadership that Joe has demonstrated along, now people see how the rotunda is now lit up at night, mm-hmm. how they have new lights along the walkway towards the community center. I think you have a vision of having an avenue of lights from, I'm not sure, from Freeway up to El Costa, but you've talked about creating, thought of having a vibrantly lit up place as a part of this central core. And it goes to your issue, which is making this an exciting place for people to want to have their retail business. They want to be a part of a winner. So, and then, of course, I want to leave a chance for Scott and I to hear any questions you might have, because in the context of our conversation. So that was the gist of walking at the end of your meeting, which I thought would be around 5 o'clock.
Recently we had the economic presentation by BAE. Now that they were here as well. And that's part of the context for this committee's work into the future is how to create that, a set of actions that go with that report. Having a report and putting it on the shelf doesn't add any value. In fact, it cost us something. But if we can take that report and create actions that go with it, whether it is in zoning and things we pass on to the Planning Commission, or whether it's things we add to the Parks Master Plan, or it's things we add to the Bike Master Plan, but concrete actions that, that actually create something new or different, or just to change what we're doing so that it adds vitality, will add value. And that's where we really look to this group to do that, to help create the action items that go with that report.
So, and through you to the chair, any questions you guys might have for council about stuff we've talked about or things that are going on?
We can take it around the room to see if any individual members might have questions, feedback, or comments, anything.
I have a comment. First, I want to say thank you for the video about the 150-year. The video on YouTube, that's so amazing. I mean,
Gary was co-chair of that, so you can thank Gary for all the work they're doing there.
That was pretty phenomenal. And I serve with the attorney, but she's on the East Bay Leadership Council Transportation Task Force. She works for Amtrak. I think she works for Amtrak, right? But she's a city of San Juan resident. She's in the video.
Roxanne.
Thank you.
Ace train.
So I didn't realize that all that history is in her family until I watched the video. It'll go up, I meet with her every month, so amazing. I'm happy about the walking district idea. That's a great idea, because that's one good branding and attracting people to the downtown, to the future downtown, would be that walking thing. And then there's also the bike and bike master plan. It's the first ever for the city, which is great. So I think one of the things we've talked about in the committee meeting earlier is to bring all these pieces together into a plan. Building on what you just said, Scott, is that, you know, how do we make actions out of this? Because you've got the autonomous rail crossing, you've got city center, you've got the autonomous shuttle, or the autonomous shuttle, and all these other pieces you're doing. That, you've got all the nucleus, basically, all the pieces. All you need to come up with a game plan to build on that, to promote the city as a place for people to come and walk and shop and dine, etc. So, thank you for all the work. Don't have any questions, but just want to make sure I mention that.
The branding and theme, that's what we want. We've been talking about it before. Yeah. So when we talk about San Ramon, who we are, what is the one word the top of, on the top of your head? Is this romantic city like Paris, exciting city like New York, or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's great. Walking the streets, brilliant idea.
I love the lighting idea. I think it's nice romance to the city, nice lighting at night. I think it's very nice. Thank you.
City manager's always a pleasure to talk to council.
Thank you for the kind comments in the beginning. That's
I think also Phil Alone's idea was pushing that too, so give due Phil Alone.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a beautiful idea. I think the aesthetics also make a difference. So thank you.
I just want to say two thumbs up. Great idea on the walking district. And anything that we can help to make that happen faster.
Yeah, I think this walking industry is kind of a great idea, and also suggest if possible maybe we have like a once a month someone can lead a hike or bike around the ceremony, just get people get familiar with this. I bike along all the Iron Horse Trail, and not many people are here, so we need to invite more people. Like someone lead that, maybe more people will participate. Then after they know that, they'll say, wow, this is amazing.
One of the things I did was I tried to go to where the so-called walking district might be, and then about a mile. And a lot of residences, a lot of homes that are within 1 mile of who can actually pile onto the Iron Horse Trail. One of the challenges I think we'll have will be, how do you entice comfortably people from the west side to come? Because you have
out the freeway.
Out the freeway, north can be perhaps one. And the other is, how do you get, my rule of thumb is, how do you get say a 12-year-old child safely from Doherty Valley on a bicycle to the Iron Horse Trail? Because because Old Ranch Road is not safe and Bollinger is not safe. So one of the goals is how do we make it safe? So we set up a vibrant walking district to make sure that we can set people up for failure, and the bike master plan is working on that to find ways to safely get us as adults and also young people to the Ironhorse Trail and then over the overpass safely over Bollinger and to enjoy it.
That bike master plan is way overdue.
Sorry, one question. I don't mean to go out of line here. One of the comments I was reading on social media was, I plan on Ironhorse Trail to build some lime trees on the trail behind, I think Ironhorse Trail abuts, where is it? It abuts here, right? Like those, right? Yeah, so lime trees or lighting. I don't know if that's...
Well, let's see, along Bishop Ranch's section, they've had a plan for enhancing it. I don't want to say they've been distracted. They've got a very full plate right now just trying to get City Center built. So they have set aside their plan, but they have a very comprehensive plan along that section. But one of the curious things, and Debbie probably can speak to this, is that Ironhorse Trail belongs to East Bay Regional Park District.
Yeah.
It's actually Contra Costa land.
It doesn't belong to
it.
It
doesn't belong to us. And so, now we built, what, six or eight?
The nine nodes,
oases, whatever we want to call them, and that took a major effort to get that approved at the county park, and that's still listed as a transit corridor.
Yeah,
so,
but I think the core to your question is there's nine utilities run down there,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Including gasoline pipeline,
aviation jet fuel, and they don't really want trees growing with roots that will embed in. So they're, Danville has some stuff there on private property that's giving them a nice canopy, and it's never over there. But I think, unless I'm wrong, Joe, I think you're right. Trees are problematic, so we've got to think of other clever ways.
No, there's going to be other clever ways because the Walnut Creek ran into that issue where there were some issues there with and Bill Moth. Exactly what I'm talking about. There was a major explosion. Yes. We don't want to get into
arrows. But you're right. We want to create more vibrant, friendly.
Yeah.
So
the few places where we have those nodes, those will have trees that will shade the thing. But they're spaced, so you're never going to have a continuous tree-lined corridor. I don't believe there.
Plus, the trees that you're going to put in are going to have to be trees with root systems that go out very. Shallow?
Yeah.
Or palm trees.
Well, palm trees. Not half-red sucking up. I'm very selective on how, you know what I'm talking about, on who we're talking about, because out in, Doherty Valley, that was another issue there, because the trees weren't planned as far as the root system. With this, we've really got to plan the root system. That's huge.
So one other thing on the Ironhorse Trail, and you guys may have heard that, but East Bay Regional Park is trying for a pilot for 1 year to allow electrical scooters on it. So it's not a recreation corridor, but also a commute corridor now, basically, for people to basically use their scooters to get to BART in Dublin.
Makes you a fast track.
Trail.
that's
the 250.
And it's still only.
It's still making a difference. There's speed limits.
There
is a speed limit
on the Iron Horse Trail.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
There is a speed limit. They have to go and get 15, I think. Maximum 15 miles per hour.
So
max,
like
even if it's electrical, but basically they're encouraging people to commute down and take their car and touch my parking. So use the Iron Horse Trail. It's actually sort of starting to serve more now function than just a recreational trail.
So the walking district idea is brilliant, but how can we increase the sales revenue?
We charge for walking.
Well, hopefully the walking district is very expensive to put in place because 2/3 of it's in Bishop Ranch and they're on board about doing something. Central Park is pretty well built out, so it's not expensive to create the infrastructure to have it. It's more of a, like an overlay and the branding and marketing. But many times if you build some place that's exciting to be, then people will want to be there. So there's folks on this side. I'd hate to see if there's questions on this side.
I have one question, mainly regarding the past. First of all, I appreciate the fact that the settlement has been But there is a concern which I hear once in a while that the parks do not have enough lighting, especially during winter time that it gets dark, and then occasional situations that there are concerns about from neighbors that there are people coming from far away places, park their car, and then they don't know what is going on there in the night.
I back up to a park and I call the police more than once, so I know what you mean.
Yes. I lived across the park for many years. Bill knows that.
Yeah, the Westland, yeah.
Yeah. And with that, you have to be proactive. You just have to, if you see something that's wrong, you just have to make sure you report.
I always refer to the city manager that, is there an expectation that some parks are closed when they get dark?
Yeah, most
of them. Carol's little parks too?
No, it's supposed to be.
Supposed to be, yes.
Yeah, that's part of the, when it gets dark, there's, people are not supposed to be out there.
Right.
People are not supposed to be in the park?
That is correct, when it's dark, yeah. Yeah, there's time limits on that.
Well, I go to these two experts, what do you?
You call them, you have to call them, and also you have to be proactive, it's, you don't, most people don't want to bother the police. That's what we do, the majority of the time is, you know, the person was only in the park, they're only sitting there talking, I didn't want to put, well, that's what the police want and expect, because you don't know what's going on. And if it's something as simple as a couple folks out there sitting on the table talking, if a police officer shows up and runs them off, then they're not going to come back. But if you never make that call, then those same people or their friends are going to come back and come back and come back, because nobody's ever told them, hit the road. And so the best case is always to be proactive about that type of thing and make the calls, and the police will show up. And if they're still there, they're not going to defer, you know, some a higher level call for service that they may be at to go to that, but a lot of times they're free and able to respond to those type of things. And so you don't know if they're busy or not, and they expect that type of interaction.
It's also a matter of talking to the city too. I mean, myself, I mean, this is when Jeffy Oriole was there. This was one of the previous directors. Jeff and I would talk, and actually he would set the timers on the sprinklers.
Why not?
That is a legitimate way to tell someone to come home.
Is there any chance for improving the lighting situation?
Well, Carol, she's on the Parks Commission. She's what you go through.
The parks, you know, there's some parks that are lit because they have baseball fields or soccer fields.
Yeah.
So those are lit. And then in the future out at Rancho Limon, there will be basketball courts that will be lit there when it comes to the second phase of that. But, you know, we have 60 parks in San Ramon, and I think the city council may not have enough money to light them all. And technically, are at desk in the Iron Horse Trail in the park is supposed to be out. I mean, it's not for night activity because they're not set up for that.
Yeah.
It's for daytime use. And like you said, call kids, because we've had break-ins like at the Blue Acres that they destroyed the restroom. But you need to call and take action, because you can't be everywhere at once, you know, to find things.
And we need to spread the word.
Yeah.
Right.
I personally would make a call, but I don't know about other. So many other residents do not know how to react to a situation, because this kind of concerns I hear from different sections of the people, that there are cars coming from, they know the cars are not local, and they come and then they park at the middle of the night, maybe 1 o'clock in the night, and then they...
Well, you should call the police.
You should call them.
Let them know.
You're talking about Boone Acres. I mean, that's exactly where I lived, and prior to moving there, we didn't have problems there because I wasn't afraid to call.
He was the grumpy old man before he
was. But he no longer lives in Boone Acres.
Yeah, so that's the problem. I predate the park there. That's the problem.
But that's another thing you can do on the next door neighbor also.
Right, let them know.
Encourage them, because I know there have been some break-ins out. And so you really do need, if you have become acquainted with your neighbors and know what their cars are when you see, you know, someone in the area. So encourage your friends to be active, you know, at that.
So
So I think these are very positive and very creative ideas. I'm just wondering, has there ever been any investigation into the possibility of using or turning the Sunset Shopping Center into more of a downtown area?
Oh, Shops at Bishop Ranch?
Yeah.
Shops at Bishop Ranch. Call it a what?
To turn it into a downtown.
It's an industrial park.
But the shopping center.
No, I understand what you're talking about, but, yeah. but it's an industrial park.
That, right.
That's key. You know, San Juan's a different animal.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah, I'm just,
we'll explain that
just throwing it out there.
There's a shopping center already.
But more if we could, more of an upscale shopping center like we're all trying to do, then it could feed into the city center and vice versa. Because it's going to be very, very different. Once that city center gets in there, there's going to be some challenges.
What if, and again, I don't call this, the city council calls with what the walking district might be, but one of my thoughts is that you wouldn't include that now in the walking district.
Right.
But there would be criteria set as to how they would qualify to get into it, so they would upgrade it so they could be in the walking district. Same with the marketplace, where you create incentives to make it more pedestrian friendly, to create sure. more storefront appearance to it, so you have shade when you walk
that's,
around.
That's
the key. And then if they do all those things, they can be in the walking district. And they can then market that. Because Target's not going to change. That's going to be a great anchor to our downtown area because it'll bring a lot of traffic in.
Right, but that center's not walkable yet.
So we can incentivize them
like
to do that.
I like it.
So that Michael, you're hitting on something we talked about earlier in the committee. And I think what we were trying to realize here is that you've got Sunset, you've got the shopping center on the Crow Canyon corridor on the other side, and city center, and the connecting street between all of those is coming around.
Yeah.
Right. And,
yeah.
And then you've got Marketplace, which is not too far from them either, right? So I like the walking district idea, but it'll be nice if we can marry that district into the plan of the downtown overall. Let's say, okay, if we put the, we're gonna put, you know, new path or, you know, walking path for people to go from one place to another and move them, it'll be part of the incentive to redevelop or reconfigure, let's just say, all that area so that that becomes the downtown, which is connect city center to everything that's around it by foot.
You take the baby steps.
Yeah.
Successful and vibrant and if it works, then people are going to want to expand and do the first part right.
Yeah. Right.
So one thing in my conversation earlier, just before this meeting with Debbie, is that the Camino Ramon itself is in two different plans, the North Camino Ramon and the city center plan. There's no plan to do the re-envision. At the time, there was no need for one, but now it would be nice if we can do the Camino Ramon plan. That's from Bolivian Canyon to Crow Canyon. And connect all the stuff. Because you've got Sunset, you've got City Center, you've got Market, you've got the Crow Canyon on the other side. There's got a lot of stuff happening along that corridor. And in the middle, it's kind of quiet. There's nothing going on in there. But I think if we come up with a plan, it'll fall on receiving ears on the Sunset development to help.
One of the great things about being on this committee is you get to develop, think about ideas. And so as you move up through commissions and council, you've got those things you've thought about for a while and worked on. So there you go.
Beautiful.
So Jason, if there are other
I think the walking district is like a really good idea because like not only for adults but also for teens, because like a lot of my friends personally, like they all go to like Dublin and like Pleasanton and all for like shopping.
Keywords.
Yeah, so like for like Stonehenge, like there, it's like the only problem there is that like you have to do like one certain thing because they're like if you want to do like skating or like different activities, you have to go to like different parts of the town to do that. But like I think with the walking district, it's like a really good idea since like they're gonna all be nearby. So there's like canoeing and like the
skate park on one side.
Exactly. So like it's like not only bringing like teens together in San Ramon, but it's also like a great way to like increase retail, etc. Like rather than having to go to like different cities, because like one of the problems that teen council is facing right now is that we're not able to get like an interest in teens to like participate in like the city or like do events that are in the city itself. So like with the walking district, we can involve a lot of the teens in activities that are in the city.
What would you want to have to be in that? That would be interesting to follow. That would be a question to ask the group.
Yeah.
How do you accessorize it? Right?
Yeah.
You can't call it teen or is because
no, I'm not saying teen.
But it's also something called a teen center, please.
Celia, you have anything you want to add?
Can I add something different? I'd like to share some experience with I had during the summer. I visited down south of the city of Acadia. They have a giant 626 market. I'm not sure anyone knows about it.
I know what that is.
Right. So I wish we could have something similar so to attract a lot of food vendors to show what they have. Directly stimulate that business.
Like a farmer's market?
It's more than that.
It's more than that. It's, yeah, it's they have their rolling vendors that go over there that display different Arcadia, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, they're rolling vendors
it's
that display
hybrid,
different
fruits.
Yeah, they do. It's a combination of off the grid,
yeah,
where they have like the mobile, but it's stationary, and then they have different foods and flavors from vendors, different restaurants, different flavors. It's a fantastic place, and you get lost there for hours on end,
yes,
and you stay there. Yeah,
food flea market.
Yeah, but it's a different experience.
I keep saying hybrid because it's a different. It's like moving up a level.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, they do it once a month. They post on a website. They attract a lot of people like me to go down there to try Korean food, Thai food, all kinds of different food.
This one ties into the
Bay Street has it too.
Bay Street?
Yeah,
Bay Street has it too.
Yeah, same idea.
In Emeryville?
Yes.
Yeah, they have that one too.
One more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing. I work for the school districts handling all the facilities rental. I truly want to be a partner with the city, so we handle all the facilities rental. I see tremendous increase of the gyms, fields, and event center. We are currently overloaded. All the events. So I wish our city can have some event centers which can accommodate more than 300. So when I call the city, normally they told me 250. We don't have anything to accommodate a huge cultural event. And those people can pay a lot of money.
So not the only thing we have would be the Performing Arts Theater that takes.
Yes,
In Santa Rosa, there's only a handful of them.
Yes.
Right, there's Canyon Lakes, there's,
mm-hmm,
you know, there's
the Rock House.
There's only a handful of them. Not set up for what you're talking about.
They are coming to school.
Marriott is too big.
Yeah, they are all coming to me here. So it's a good money. So I know the city pass out and all the people here and try to increase our revenue, right? So that's a good idea maybe to look into that.
Geez, if we're all sold out, we're not, our rates aren't high enough.
That's
what a business guy would do. Well, Carol, I'm just talking about.
Just
don't freak out.
Yes, it's more than a million business, just rent.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You can stay here longer, kind of shop around.
Definitely, there's a lot of inquiry every single week.
And it's really important that you guys do work now because after something gets built, it's too late to make some changes.
Yeah.
And so now's the time to have the vision. Now's the time to talk about how you would like something to look before it is constructed or built. And have ideas. So as folks come up with ideas about things to do, whether it's right around that or other areas, how does it tie into the greater themes you guys are talking about in terms of economic development and just vitality and the fun part of being here. So it's not just the best part place to trick or treat.
Yeah, I think it's just the reason I feel, just something came into my mind. You know what? We are one of the richest cities in the country. We have like a very high level of household income. On the other hand, the city, we have a deficit. And how can we kind of let those people stay here, shop here, and then get them spend money here in the city? We need to think about that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, we have all these rich people with household income is really high.
Well,
they really spend somewhere else.
Well, I told Joe this is one of my concerns, is that you all are going online to shop. And as long as you keep going online to shop and do stuff, you're not shopping anywhere else, including not here. And I've always felt as if they should tax internet sales in addition to the regular sales tax to protect your brick and mortar businesses. They're willing to invest in brick and mortar stuff, bring their inventory in, and but they're getting outcompeted by people who shop online and have things delivered. And so, and your business community that you guys are trying to build up is a vibrant part of our community. The business, the shopping centers, the places you go and spend time, if they don't thrive, it robs the city of a big part of its character.
It's UPS's fault. Seriously,
it's Amazon.
No, it's UPS because they're down the street. So
right,
why do I need to drive 5 miles to get something when UPS is down Norris Canyon and I just order online and they just
drive it to your house?
Drive to my house.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I think there's a trend. It's not within the city of the country. It's worldwide. The trend is go online shopping. It's kind of cheaper, more convenient. But there's other things they cannot do online. Restaurant. Service, we need to have some high quality restaurant service here.
And that's really my thought behind the walking district, is you want to make it experiential.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go and spend money, whether you shop for an apple or whatever you're going to buy, if you make it experiential and it's a fun place to go and spend time and shop, I think that makes
people no longer buy things, they buy experience.
Yeah, they buy experience.
The brick and mortar, you're not going to help save them by, but they have to offer something valid, obviously, right? But you're going to, it's what happens outside the front, the storefront, is what brings people in, not the inside. The inside is important, but people, I'm one of them, we shop on Amazon, because you just don't have time to go shop somewhere else. So you, it's Amazon right now. And Amazon buying Whole Foods basically helps.
And I think Alex gets it, because I think 50% is entertainment. Restaurants and theaters, and he has a blog. He's trying to do a lot of programming. So most, if not every night of the week, I know every weekend he wants to have events occurring in the Piazza area, and that would just help reinforce whatever else is happening around the walking district.
So Celia, I had a follow-up question to what you were saying. I'm not familiar with the 626 market. How big is that in scope? And then just in San Ramon, is there a place that you could, I'm assuming there are no barriers to actually having them come, but where would something like that, where could you see something like that pop up?
We can do it at the Central Park.
Yeah.
I think they do it at the horse
track.
There's an empty track, the Arcadia, the old Arcadia horse track, right across the street. They're not in the track, they do it outside in the parking lot. They have they have the tents and whatnot at, so yeah, they do it in open spaces, basically. The farmer's market, they close off, I forgot what street it is. They right off Bishop Branch. The parking lot, yeah. That would be.
But they're going to move. I understand they're going to move
over
to by Target and have their own dedicated area by Target.
So that would be a good area, too, to have.
Anchor to it, yes.
Have we back that area where AT&T is, where there's nothing there.
People have to pay either $5 or $10 to get in. Depends on the Friday or Saturday or Sunday.
Really?
They
can sample different type of
foods from
different
industries. I've been a vendor in one of them. When I small business, so it wasn't even a food. My business wasn't food, but even other businesses was in there. So it was successful.
Oh,
very
fantastic.
I have a question. Did we sell the old city hall? All of them? So do we have anything left from it? Some city property out of the city hall?
That was part of the deal.
Yeah.
Sold the city hall and we used the money to renovate the library.
But do we have any left? So the reason I'm asking the question is to her question about an event space. Do we have any city owned property that right now, with all the moving around, that's been left?
For property wise, like land to build?
Land to build or land that has building on it that we can be repurposed or rebuilt?
Not to that extent, but as far as building a large event center.
We want to encourage a private business. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
but it could be. It doesn't have to be city center. It doesn't have city money. It could be. But just, wondering if there is one that we should be aware of.
Most cities have conference centers that are paid for by either a special assessment district or assessment districts.
They can be,
But it could be a private-public partnership. You could partner with somebody that, they run it for 10 years, 20 years, and then get it back to the city. So the city doesn't have to cost the city any money. Because as you see, there's demand, they can't find a place.
So Phil, I had a kind of a follow-up question on, you had mentioned Marketplace a few times, just because of where they're located, but if I was Marketplace, what do you think would be the appeal for me to want to become part of the district, and in order to do that, for me to spend money in my facility to upgrade, so to speak?
Does your tenants tell you that we're going to find no spot to be because all the crowds are over there? Mm-hmm. So the tenants would drive it. They wouldn't do it voluntarily unless they thought as if it would be financially to their advantage to spend the money.
Right.
And if the crowds really come to the city center and there is an attractiveness to it, they're going to want to be a part of it.
So we're going to want to upgrade, you know, it's like Gateway, that new construction that's going on there.
Right. I mean, that's something that we talked about in subcommittee as far as we're not in a position to legislate, and you wouldn't get too far with that anyway, but as far as incentivizing and getting someone to think differently about something to make those changes, I think that would be key. You know, you want to get them voluntarily to do whatever it is. If it means more business to you, people are going to stay around longer, linger, or whatever the term is.
If they can raise the rates and charge tenants more money because it will attract more buyers because they're in a certain area, then you should incentivize them, yeah.
Right. Okay. I also echo what everyone else has said. I think the walking district has a lot of potential, and it will serve as a way to tie a lot of pieces, the very things like Shadi was saying, together, and force people to not drive so much and checks off another box and stay local. I think so. Anyone else? I think that's a really good idea.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to say something.
Our meetings normally go.
Great work you
guys. Our meetings normally go a little longer, so you came up a lot sooner. Thank you. Move on to item 9, government liaison remarks. 9.1 is city council. You or Scott want to handle that?
Well, so we finished approval of the apartment complex at the old Interstate Bank property at the very south end of town. That's on Al Costa at the corner with Kimball right near. There's a 7-Eleven down there. Mm-hmm. That's what, 95 units, yeah. 10 of which are either very low, no, they're all very low, designated for very low income. So that will close in, what, another 40 days or so?
December, wasn't it?
Yeah, 45 more days, a couple, it will close on that, and then they will start with their permitting process. What else, Bill? That's of consequence. The MCE thing. I'm not sure I briefed this group on that. The city council has joined on the city's behalf, we joined Marin Clean Energy. Marin Clean Energy is a community choice aggregator. They go and buy power. PG&E will continue to deliver power. You'll start receiving notices in the mail in January. It's an opt-out system, meaning if you do nothing, you will be in. You'll receive mailing in January, March, and then the crossover will take place in April. You'll receive another mailing in July about opting out. Currently, their rates are about 2% cheaper than PG&E across the board, and they have two plans. One's called light green, one's called dark green. Light green is about 55% renewable energy, and the dark green is 100% greenhouse gas-free energy. The dark green is about 4% higher, 4 to 5% higher than the light green, but it's still cheaper than the equivalent program at PG&E, and they have essentially all the same programs at PG&E. So if you have solar panels, they have a solar panel program that looks a lot like PG&E, with one exception, and that is if you have the solar panel program at PG&E, there is no way for you to actually receive a check. Meaning if you produce more power than you consume, PG&E will not write you a check. They'll just thank you very much and send you a zero bill. MCE actually sent over $1.5 million in checks back to customers that produced more energy than they consumed. So MCE does have a program whereby you can
I'll receive that. So I'm on the board of directors for MCE, and I'm also on the rate-setting committee of MCE.
The other thing about, I think is important for this group is there's been a conversation going on for the last 6 months at the corner of Deer Ridge and Santa Monica Valley Boulevard, the outpost is, where the outpost soon will have been.
Used to be.
It's gone down.
It's done.
It's gone now.
It's gone.
Yes.
It's gone. It happened quick.
Yep.
And there is a specific plan, which is a planning term, to build up to 735 homes in a rather broad area, and the council both lessened the density and also was trying to bring it down to two key intersections, which is Deer Ridge and
Deerwood.
Old Ranch Road, Deerwood and Old Ranch Road.
Omega, Old Crow
Omega,
Canyon Road.
Right, yeah. And then Santa Monica Valley
Boulevard. It's Old Crow Canyon Road.
Old Crow Canyon Road.
You're lost. How long have you been here?
I'm thinking you're too far. But the goal being is trying to have that village being closer altogether to have the kind of density of units. They'll have a vibrant retail area because now you have enough, what they call them, rooftops, right? Mm-hmm. Plus all of the Faria properties driving down that road to leave, and now you can create a second, I wouldn't call it another downtown, although that used to be where the old village used to be in San Ramon. In fact, the plan was at one time that was going to be the downtown of San Ramon. It was going to be at this intersection. And so you're going to have a chance to build another vibrant village that will perhaps be the old village area where people can have the restaurants and a walking experience for that northwest section of San Ramon. And you guys are on the ground floor watching that happen and develop.
And we're connected across the freeway on Astoria Way by bike and then it'll ties into the downtown on the other side.
Astoria down to Camino Ramon. And
because see, the Camino Ramon, again, the Camino Ramon is a connection because the dead end on Astoria, and that gets you back.
Well, the bicycle master plan probably is what's going to help.
Yeah.
And they're talking about maybe having some green stripes eventually, but you want to do it without having a master plan in place for biking, and then do it at once and not piecemeal and half.
Regarding MCE, are they leveraging the current infrastructure laid out by PG&E?
PG&E continues to deliver the power.
Okay.
PG&E will continue to send you your bill.
Okay.
But the power, MCE purchases power from Bonneville, from Calpine,
sure,
from whoever is producing power.
Sure.
They go out and buy the power. And they have contracts. I looked at the contract structure. They want to have about 60% of their load for the next 20 years already contracted. And as you get closer, it goes up to 70%, 80, 90. So 2 years out, they're going to have about 90% of their load already contracted. And it's only when you get down to the last 6 months that they buy, you know, tiny pieces to fill in their load. But they buy power.
They have to pay PG&E
And they pay PG&E a wheeling charge.
So they bought futures.
Yes. Well, they have contracts with Bonneville, Calpine, said,
okay,
we want this many gigawatt hours,
okay,
over these months,
okay,
and here's the rate we're gonna pay, you know, effectively 3 cents a kilowatt hour, or six cents a kilowatt hour, whatever they're going to buy. But they buy it in gigawatt hours.
Does that have anything to do with the decentralization by the PUC of PG&E?
Well, it wasn't a PUC thing, it was a state legislature in 2007. Authorized communities to do this, and MCE was one of the first. They've been in business for 7 years. They have excellent finances. They have zero long-term debt, at zero, and they have $44 million in the bank in reserves. So they're doing great.
And you don't MCE, have to use it. You can opt out and stay with
PG&E. You can opt out and stay with PG&E. About 10 to 15% of people do opt out to stay with PG&E.
Mm-hmm. And I guess assuming, if you don't have the answer, that's fine. But assuming that the power goes out.
It's a PG&E problem?
It's a PG&E problem.
Right.
Okay.
PG&E still provides all the transmission.
Yeah, they provide all the transmission.
Yeah, they still provide. Okay.
Yeah. It's just who is buying the power if it goes on to the grid.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Thank you.
Do you know if MCE offer a time of day plan for electric vehicles?
You know, that's a really good question. I'll find out.
You don't mind.
I don't know yet. I've only been to one board meeting, so.
Come on, Scott.
That's a good question. Yeah, good question.
I feel like a bit of insight.
One of the curious things is that daytime solar power in the summer is getting extraordinarily cheap to buy.
Yeah, it is.
Because there's so much of it out there. And so the new thing to look for is a storage system. And MCE is looking at, hopefully there in the future there'll be storage systems so that they can buy really cheap power and store it and then put it back on the grid at a time when it's more valuable.
Tesla batteries.
You just gave me an idea.
Yeah.
You just gave me an idea.
Tesla batteries.
It's going to be
just, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a battery system, but or is it a flywheel system? But it's an energy storage system that you can store energy in it during cheap times and then pull the energy back out during expensive times.
So I could charge people electric vehicles to park in my driveway and feed their cell with my extra power.
Yes, sir.
It's not allowed in the city.
You need a business license.
Yeah, you need a use permit for that.
In my Long Island, New York house, and then LIPA, which is equivalent to PG&E here, they used to send me a check as kind of reimbursing of my self-generation of electricity, but I'm surprised PG&E just sends
no problem. Yeah, that's
wow.
Fascinating stuff.
Fascinating.
I have a question.
Since we got
a question
first.
Did you
have a question?
Bonus question.
Yeah.
This product is like, our program is offered to businesses as well.
Yes.
Because like, I feel like it'd be a good idea if we get it into like big retail places, kind of like Target or like basically in that.
They will receive the same kind of information, but obviously they'll receive the business rate structure. But every business will have the opportunity to, your meter won't change, the color of your electrons won't change. They'll still be little electrons running around the wires. But every business will have the opportunity to make the choice. And that was the main, I think the main compelling reason for the council was to offer people a choice. You can stay with PG&E or you have this alternate source. And it was a matter of choice. That's all I got, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you had a question?
Well, it's not the energy, but the infrastructure discussion got me thinking. Have we had any conversation with AT&T or Comcast about having Wi-Fi, hotspots Wi-Fi in the downtown area?
Xfinity has it.
Well,
I would not be surprised. I haven't actually asked this question, but that's really a good question to ask Alex Meredith. Will he have, effectively,
Wi-Fi.
Will his city center have be a hotspot? That would not surprise me.
Well, inside the center of the road, what I'm thinking is the walking distance.
As opposed to unique businesses, will be having I've looked online at communities that put community Wi-Fi, and you haven't seen a groundswell of that because virtually nobody has made it work. The IT support for it has not generated enough income back to the community to make it viable. You know, community-based Wi-Fi in general have not made it. I'm not sure that some states have different rate structures and things like that that offer subsidies and things. But I'm not aware of any city that's
made
it happen.
So what
it's not. If they've done it, it's a matter of their general fund.
Right. So it may need some capital improvement initially, and we'll see what
right.
is for it. But the idea is, if you're on a device and you're walking, and you want to use it, you will see an ad from a local business. Let's say, hey, you're here.
If you have some information on a viable system that...
I haven't researched that model itself, but I've had that conversation with the Comcast guy, the government relations guy, and I talked to him specifically about deploying it. Their perception is that AT&T is already here. They have a big office. Comcast.
They have a big office.
We should go to AT&T, but we know we're not getting anything out of it.
Interesting enough, AT&T's coverage isn't all that great.
Yeah.
Here. Mm-hmm. All right, Debbie?
Amen.
I have a Sprint, so. It's not that great either, so.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
Just one thing, tie it into what we're doing, the other stuff we're doing, which is the downtown plan, the branding, the attracting people to, and you throw in another component to the Wi-Fi.
Right. While I'm walking, I can check the Yelp and find the local restaurant where I can go very quickly. Exactly. I'm cheap.
But you may not be able to walk and text with a cell phone anymore either, so.
And that's where I use my phone.
Tag went down, right? Where is that? Is that Hawaii? Okay. Thank you. All excellent thoughts. Let's move on to 9.2 of Planning Commission. Gary?
Okay, sitting in for Vicki. Last night we had a long meeting, and we actually talked about four separate projects. The Chang property, somebody wants to point over there, Scottville.
Yeah.
Chang is a residential project. If you drive out Ballinger heading towards Little Hills,
well, let's see.
Across the
right here. Mm-hmm.
Off on the west side, there's a small parcel. Actually, it's a very large parcel, but a very small part of it was planned in the Northwest Pacific Plan for housing. And we've been working on this for quite a number of months. 43 single-family homes. Large lot with 18 secondary dwelling units. A secondary dwelling unit is a small unit on the back, think casita, that can be rented out. If they are to be rented out by the homeowner, it will be considered affordable. So they're restricted for the next 50 years. They have to rent these out at.
This is stuff for re-loading here.
Yeah, like sometimes they're called granny flats, a successful secondary dwelling unit. It's actually a very.
12,000 square foot.
It's an accessible way to provide.
They're nice. Custom.
So
it's a nice.
Jeez. Wow. 12,000 square foot lots, these are probably going to be $2 million homes.
Very, very likely. Very likely. They're quite expensive. Quite expensive homes. Anyways, last night, after going through a number of public hearings, a number of meetings, a number of reviews, because you can imagine, you know, a lot of environmental kind of things are being reviewed and discussed and things like that. And, you know, there's some property owners and homeowners nearby, so they had to do some settlements and they had to work things out. So anyways, last night the commission did approve the project, and so that's 43 homes, the Chang property. Secondly,
will that be within the city limits? Because currently it's
yes.
Not.
So there's,
yeah, it'll be annexed, and just like three was annexed after the approvals were done. Yeah.
So what they're talking about is one of the things that's within the city's sort of sphere of influence, but it's not technically in the city yet, so there's some, I'll loosely say, paperwork that needs to be filed, you know, with Norzig called LAFCO, which is the guys that, you know, decide where city boundaries live and exist. So one of the things the applicant will need to do is file the paperwork, you know, which sounds easier than it probably is. Yes, Debbie says it sounds
a lot of
easier
work.
Than it is. Anyway, we approved it last night. Secondly, we had a tutoring center over at the old City Hall building, you know, called Education X. That was a pretty small thing, some minor tenant improvement inside, and we actually approved that as well. You know, really nothing controversial about that. You know, it's an office building, and it's a good use for that. It's not taking away retail or grocery stores, so from that standpoint, it's very good. I think a couple of months ago, I talked to you about a concept review at the old Max's Diner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Max's Diner on Crow Canyon, you know, it's been closed for years and years now. 4 years. Four years and years. Anyways, the shopping center owner, Kimco, came forward with a concept review a few months ago and then actually came back with a development plan last night, which we approved. And we're going to tear down the Max's Diner building completely, and they're going to build a new 10,100 square foot retail building, but they're going to change the orientation. So, you know, Max's is perpendicular to Crow Canyon. This will be parallel to Crow Canyon. So it'll have a very nice street front, very nice signing, a very modern building on Crow Canyon, opening up the inside of the interior for parking, and it will be 100% retail. Not a restaurant, retail. And it'll be a single tenant. And they've not actually told us, you know, publicly who the tenant is, but some of the paperwork that's in the public document actually tells the name of it, so I think I can say it, since it's out there. It's Ulta, you know, it's a
Ulta,
you know, so 10,800 square foot Ulta store.
Great store.
Other stuff too.
Hair care products, Bill.
Apparently, they're popular because Kimco is a shopping center developer, and they wouldn't be building a 10,800 square foot building and putting Ulta in unless they thought it was going to be successful.
Is that one tenant?
Single tenant. Wow. The building's designed as one tenant, but we did have a number of discussions of, you know, over time, it's designed in such a way that actually can be subdivided into multiple tenants.
Yeah.
lot of beauty products.
You'll be first in line, huh?
Yeah, right. They bought in the back.
You walked into that one.
Yeah, I did. It's okay.
Okay. So, moving on. The last one was another concept review. This was for an office building on Deerwood. So, Scott will go show you. It's actually a vacant office building that's been vacant for quite a number of years, surrounded on all four sides, essentially, by housing. So the owner of the
everything except the south side, the west, space. North, and east.
Right. Last time was a concept review. Remember, we talked about what concept reviews are, just looking for ideas and feedback, not specifically the plan yet. So the concept that they were floating, looking for some ideas, would this be, and it's currently a commercial building, so it's an office building. Once upon a time, it was a vibrant office building. It's been vacant for a lot of years now. Anyways, the concept they were looking for some feedback is, should they tear down this building, request a general plan change to make housing there, and then put housing on that spot? So they're looking for the planning commission, and in order to make a general plan change, it actually takes 4 or 5 planning commissioners and 4 or 5 city council. So it's a long, long road to do this. Changing the general plan isn't something I think the city likes to do lightly. You know, it's a pretty high bar before we do that. So just a concept review last night. The commission gave them feedback. And again, like all concept reviews, it is absolutely up to the applicant to decide what they do with that feedback. They could come back and ignore the feedback and try anyways. They could change their plan, or they could do absolutely nothing. So,
how many units?
What they showed, which again, we're not anywhere close to a development plan thing, was the concept was 19 homes in the...
Oh, homes. Single family
homes, but... On the larger site, on about 2,800 to 3,500 square feet, so it would be fairly large, homes in that square.
1.5 million.
They kind of estimated last night 1.2 to 1.5 current dollars, so it could come back very, very different, very, very different.
So early when we started off the year, we were talking about how we could prevent companies or people from leaving or companies falling under. Mm-hmm. Was there a reason why this office didn't succeed?
My understanding, Debbie, you can fill in the gaps. When it was originally built, it was for a specific tenant with a very specific use. Mm-hmm. And they had very little parking compared to what an office building of that size should have. And according, at least to the developer last night, they've had a very difficult time leasing it out because there's just not enough parking for the building as it's configured right now. And so I don't know how many years it's sat vacant.
About three. It was a data center, so basically server.
Yeah, server
facility.
Interesting. Okay.
And so, there, it's actually underparked by 60 spaces for office, for what should be there. So, there's 90. There should have been 150 if it was going to be a regular office building.
Yeah.
So it was really tenant specific.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Thank you.
Was that built under county? Is it old enough to be county or was it city?
Oh. I'm not sure. It may have been county, though.
That's an old...
Yeah, because the servers and stuff.
It's
a great lesson that you should approve buildings for specific users because you have to think about who could use it later on.
Exactly.
And so it's a good learning moment. Mm-hmm. The other question for this committee to think about is, do we want to trade off commercial for housing?
Because that's what I was going for, yeah.
Yeah, and that it may not be retail sales, but do we want to trade off commercial? I don't know because I haven't done any homework on it, but I've always loved Beta Court. Because Beta Court is, you guys all know Beta Court? It's kind of run down, right? It's not the prettiest place, but the rent is really cheap. And so a lot of services are up there, which we all want to use, and you wouldn't want to improve it too much for the rent score. And I've always been a believer in not just low to moderate income housing, I also like low to moderate income rentals for businesses, so whether it's incubators or cheap space. We need cheap space in Santa Monica to rent for businesses to come in. As they get successful, they can go to Bishop Ranch or other places and pay.
Yeah.
Just a buck. That was last night. Two other things I was going to mention. Santa Monica 150 on December the 6th is the last of the Santa Monica 150 themed lectures at the library, 7 p.m. And this one is titled Travel to and Through Santa Monica in 1867. So it's kind of the one of the final events of Santa Room 150.
Last one. Doing that one?
I think it's the mayor.
You know, actually, Bill's giving that lecture. So 7 p.m. at the library, it'll be upstairs. All the previous lectures have been just excellent. Last one, I guess I apologize. I probably should let you all know. Alex Mayrand Sr. spoke. I don't know if anybody saw it.
It was a good one, yes.
He did a really good job. You know, one of the stats that I thought was the most, one of the many interesting ones, there are 600 unique and separate businesses in Bishop Ranch. 30,000 employees work in Bishop Ranch every single day. So when we talk about, and he talked about his vision for City Center and things like that, one of the things that he is looking to do is those businesses, those employees, you know, how do you keep them in San Ramon for a few hours after work and spend money in the city center? So he talked about the history of Bishop Ranch, the history of how it became an office complex versus just more housing. You know, what he has around city center, over half of the tenants he has leases on, signed right now. He's already, you know, they're still not announcing it, of course, to the public except for the lot. But, you know, for a year out, you know, to have 50%, you know, lease that's already signed is pretty good for the industry. He did, I think, announce the grand opening date of 10/18/2018. So put it on your calendar. So, but again, yeah, December. Remember, but the most important thing, December 6th, if your schedule allows, the San Juan Library, you know, listen to, you know, Bill kind of give the final San Juan 150 event.
What's the following night?
Hold on.
That's the Chamber Community Awards Banquet.
Community Awards.
And it's been announced that Gary Albert and Cindy and Heidi innocently have been selected and will be honored as Citizens of the Year.
Wow. Any questions from the planning commission?
I have a question.
Yeah.
For the chain property, you said the casita is affordable housing. Is it one story or two story?
So the homes will be most likely two-story, but the casita will be a single-story. And what's important to remember about these is the owner of the home does not have to lease rent it out. You know, if they want their kids to live there, they can do that for free. If they want to use an art studio, they can do it free. But if they choose to rent it out commercially, you know, like on the market, then it has to be a better.
How do you enforce that? So
it's kind of a self-compliance. You know, we actually had a lot of discussion with the planning commission. These are not new concepts. You know, as Secretary Williams, in fact, the state has passed a lot of laws to try and encourage those to be built. The planning commission discussed how do we help somebody who just bought a very expensive house become a landlord? Because these people may not have any idea how do you go out and find tenants? How do you become a landlord all of a sudden, like if you're an apartment owner? So one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, perhaps the city and the housing advisory committee will think about it. How do we help these people be successful and actually have affordable secondary dwelling units that actually are functional too, not just in name only? You know, so it's a little on the new side for us, you know, and us as a city, I think. So, but I think we started to talk a little bit about how do we help. Do we put together a class or a pamphlet or a booklet or a resource to help these people become landlords? How do you find it? How do you find a tenant? How do you become a landlord when you really just bought an expensive house?
Because I have many friends. I live in a three-generation household, so I have elderly, I have friends who have immigrated from other country, low-income, affordable. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a good information for me, so I can spread the word out.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. And I don't know if this is redundant or not, but congratulations also on that. I saw you won another award. I think it's a different award than what the mayor just said, but a community service award as well.
Here with the valley.
Yeah, so congratulations on that.
Yeah.
I know. We're not worthy, right? Didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but I did see it on an article.
Thank you.
I think it was Gina's.
Gina's embarkment.
Yeah.
Heidi and I.
Move on to 9.3, Parks and Community Services. Carol?
Hey. Well, you heard about the lights, so I just have some more things that we're going to tell you about. That since we have lights that we did for the Diwali from October 19th to November 2nd, that was multicolor lights to share that. So we felt that it does take some time for staff to put up lights and take lights down and everything. So is proposing that we do 8 per year with lighting up the center and around the center and everything. And probably we'll do them from October to March because there's longer hour of darkness and more people can see the lighting effect. So the next one would be Veterans Day from November 9th through 13th, and that will be red, white, and blue. Hanukkah will be December 12th through the 20th, and that will be blue and white. And then Christmas, we will have December 21st to January 2nd, and that will be red and green. Valentine's Day, February 14th and 15th, that will be red. And the Lunar New Year, February 16th to 23rd, will also be red. St. Patrick's Day, March 16th to the 19th, will be green. And the Persian New Year, March 20th to the 26th, will be green. So when you go by there, you'll see that we're celebrating many different things, and it's really neat that you can see all the lights and be proud of just another little touch that makes living in San Ramon nice. Other things is this summer we tried a new thing of the swim. We contracted that out to a person, and they were successful, and we'll be looking at continuing that contract with them because we just didn't have it for the whole year. So it did lose some money for the city, but we think in the long run that it will come out positive because we don't have to have as many employees and we can concentrate on lifeguards and that effect, and they take care of all the other work. Community gardens. I don't know if any of you like to garden, but we do have community gardens. We have the North Community Gardens, which was up by where the old Mudge used to be. And those are very successful. They're on a flat land, and plots are 25 by 20. And that's 89% full. So people do winter gardening right now. And in the summertime, they have lots of tomatoes and everything. It's really great to walk through there. So there's a few opportunities there that we'd like to encourage people to take use of that you can grow your own, have your own organic gardens. And the little problem that we have is by the senior center down by the community center and the senior center down there on El Costa. We have raised beds there, and they're smaller. And they're only 41% full. So they're a little harder, so we're trying to come up with suggestions of how we can increase the people taking that. So it is on a hill. That makes a problem, and with, you know, you can't use your regular tools, and because the Northern Gardens, they have it so that the moles and everything, they have things that they've put down in the ground to keep the squirrels and whatever from eating all the things. So that's a thing that we'll be discussing tonight, is how you can encourage more people to grow their own vegetables and take advantage of a really reasonable rate. And so that is probably the major things right now. We have some new cultural dance classes, and we've had some new classes at the Senior Center too. There was a chef that taught cooking classes, and they were very successful, so we'll probably be repeating that. So if you like to cook, why encourage us to have more of those classes. So those are some of the things that we've been doing. And so the restroom almost Boone Acres is almost complete. It's not quite there yet, but it will be larger and much more, hopefully stronger to eliminate vandalism. So that's some of the things. Okay. So any questions, you can.
Yeah, Carol, can you send me that community garden information? I can pass to the neighborhood and people know that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially the parents from my family, would like to have a garden there.
It's very nice, and it's a lot of fun if you like to garden.
Now also we have fresh organic food.
Yes, exactly. Sure. I'll get that.
Thank you, Carol. Item 9.4, Chamber of Commerce. Gina is not here.
No one's here, no.
Yep. We'll pass over that. 9.5, Teen Council.
So the Outstanding Teen Citizenship Award, the deadline is this week. So we'll be choosing the applications later in the month, and we'll be announcing them probably at the next Teen Council meeting. But like other than that, when we talked about the passport program last year, I mentioned about it to the Teen Council, and they were like, they were interested in it, and I think they're going to look more into the idea. And I'm going to, like, in the next team council meeting, which is this Tuesday, I'll talk to them about, like, the walking district, because I'm sure they'll be very interested in participating in that. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. I think that's everything on the agenda, and you're adjourned. Thank you for your time.
Great.
Thank you.